Live from WNUR News, I'm Alex Harrison. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Friday, January 28th, 2022. Tonight on WNUR News, breaking down the who, what, and how of Northwestern student government. Stucco prepares for an electric staging of Percy Jackson. And gaming the system early with your Spotify Wrapped. Those stories and more coming up right now. Thanks for tuning in to WNUR News. In Campus Local tonight, Northwestern's associated student government is a recurring topic of conversation in campus media and on social media, but their process and practices are elusive to many students. So, how does ASG do what it does? And what exactly does it do? Reporter Posbaum takes a look at ASG's structure and at Wednesday's Senate meeting.
You hear about most of the things that Northwestern's associated student government does, getting Wi-Fi onto the Lakeville, expanding Books for Cats, and more, but have you ever wondered how they do it? Today, I'm going to talk you through the structure of NUASG, so the next time you hear that the president did this or the Senate did that, you'll know the behind the scenes. You'll also get an inside look at last Wednesday's Senate meeting. ASG is made up of three core structures: the cabinet, the Senate, and the committees. The cabinet is ASG's executive branch. It consists of the president, SESPE Senior Christian Wade, vice president, executive officer of justice and inclusion, chief of staff, Senate leadership, and committee chairs. The president and VP are elected by the student body, while other cabinet members are appointed within the ASG. The cabinet's job is to organize and lead ASG. Most action occurs in the Senate. The Speaker of the Senate, Weinberg sophomore Dylan Jost, leads the Senate with the parliamentarian. Also included are the representatives of 20 student groups, such as Athletics and Hillel, and 17 senators, each representing their respective school. The Senate writes and passes legislation about campus issues, meets with administrators to discuss and resolve students' concerns, and approves or overrules student group funding proposed by the Finance Committee. In order to fully address campus concerns, the Senate has 10 committees that, together, span all of student life: academics, finance, campus life, sustainability, analytics, justice and inclusion, communications, policy research, health and wellness, and community relations. These committees meet to work on short and long-term initiatives to improve students' experiences. At the weekly Senate meetings, committee chairs report updates to the entire Senate. As I just referred to, the Senate meets once a week to propose, debate, and vote on legislation. This gives a general structure, but how does ASG actually function? There are three key documents. ASG is bound by the ASG Code and the ASG Constitution, and the Senate is additionally bound by the Standing Orders of the Senate. You'll hear more about this during the coverage of Wednesday's meeting. Through these processes, ASG has been able to accomplish a lot for Northwestern students. You may be wondering, though, what to do if you have an idea that ASG has not yet addressed. If this is the case, you can contact a committee chair directly. Chair's emails are listed on ASG's website. Fill out the Contact Us form on their website, or even write your own legislation as long as a senator co-sponsors it. As I have outlined, ASG is structured by students for students. Now for a look inside the Senate's Wednesday, January 26th meeting. The main focus was the Speaker's proposed change to one of the clauses of the Standing Orders of the Senate. As Speaker Dylan Jost tells us, the original Standing Order of E1, Entitlement to Recognition, read,
"The only members of the Senate shall be entitled to recognition by the Speaker during debate. Non-members may be recognized at the discretion of the Speaker."
The Speaker proposed to change the language to, quote, "All those present at a Senate meeting shall be entitled to recognition by the Speaker during debate," end quote. The Speaker's justification for this change was as follows.
"As Speaker, my whole kind of goal, you know, has been to make sure that everyone's voice is heard, especially those who have traditionally not been heard by ASG and the Senate as a whole, including those of marginalized communities, BIPOC communities, et cetera. And I found that this section of the Standing Order of the Senate really problematic in the sense that this is essentially giving the Speaker the power to control the discussion in a way that is not necessary. And frankly, I found pretty power hungry in the sense that this means that the sole discretion of the speaker can decide to choose on anyone speaking or not. And what I mean by that is that if someone's not a senator, they can come to Senate. But oh, if the speaker doesn't want them to speak, then they can't speak.
After some debate, particularly about the impact of this change on meetings with many non-Senate member attendees, the proposal was passed with unanimous support. As a result, in future Senate meetings, non-senators will not require permission from the speaker to talk. There was also an update at Wednesday's meeting from senators who recently met with Provost Hagerty. Senators learned that the school is not open to including a credit-no-credit option this quarter for all classes, as they did for the 2020-2021 school year. Hagerty said this is because all students are back on campus, which equalizes their learning environments. Provost Hagerty stated that the administration is open to other ways to facilitate learning during the pandemic. Remember to fill out the ASG Analytics Survey, which arrived in your NU inbox on January 20th. The results from this survey will be used to decide which improvements for students are included in the university's next budget. For WNUR News, I'm Paxwell.
I've said it before and I'll say it again, student democracy simply works. Moving on to arts and entertainment. Pandemic theater is, by now, known to be even more difficult than regular theater, but it's always a little easier when you have the gods on your side. Northwestern Student Theater Coalition's production of The Lightning Thief is forging ahead, and reporter Margot Milanowski sat down with director Emma Yarger to learn about the challenges and successes they faced along the way. This story originally aired on Wednesday, January 19th.
This quarter, Stucco is performing The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical. A college production is no small feat in regular circumstances, but the ongoing pandemic and highly contagious Omicron limited space on campus for practicing, and managing a cast of 15 make this an even more impressive production than usual.
Yeah, so it's Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, and it is really similar to Rick Riordan's original novel, kid's novel of this story, and then which was adapted into a movie, which got a lot of things wrong, and then they did it on Broadway and tried to sort of get some things right again.
The story follows the main character, a demigod named Percy, on quite an adventure.
She travels across the U.S. to try to save her mom and has a band of friends from Camp Half-Blood, where all the other demigods go, and along the way gets accused of stealing a lightning bolt and ultimately saves the world. On Wednesday, we're going to have our first in-person rehearsal. And I'm really, really excited to get in person together. We're just sort of having the Zoom before on Tuesday to really, you know, make our community guidelines and like safety measures as strong as possible, just right, because we want to be smart and put safety first, obviously. But being in person is a really special thing and really important to creating a musical like this. And so, yeah, I think we're just going to try to do the best that we can.
With a cast of 15 and amidst auditions for spring productions happening in Wurtz, finding space to work has been a bit of a challenge for the group.
We always planned to start rehearsals this week. It's not really going to mess up our rehearsal schedule at all, but it has been a little bit tricky to find rehearsal space. Finding enough space for everybody to like dance and do full choreography is a little bit hard just because you need a pretty large room. On top of that, we also want an additional room where people can be rehearsing music while other people are dancing at the same time. Finding either a room that has a piano in it, which not many do, and so either booking one of those rooms or being able to like have our music director bring in his keyboard has just been like a lot to coordinate. And it's also extra busy time because spring auditions are happening this weekend, and then spring audition callbacks will happen sort of over these next week or so.
A large group production also means safety measures during the pandemic are more important than ever.
Right now, our plan is that every team member, whether that's cast or production, basically like has somebody who they can fall back on if they can't be in the room anymore. That being said, if one of us gets COVID, we're all contact traced. I think unfortunately that would put everything on hold just so that we can prioritize the safety of everybody.
To ensure the success of the show and the safety of its cast and crew, the team has put together requirements that are more cautious than the university's guidelines.
And we're going to do all that we can to make sure that that doesn't happen, including testing twice a week and masking all the time, mm-hmm. and, you know, being cautious of how we're spending our time outside of the rehearsal room. And my plan right now is like whoever has their own personal, like, strictest ideas of what should happen, that's what everybody will be doing.
For WNUR News, I'm Margo Milanowski.
At long last, someone is correcting the Lightning Thief movie. I've only been waiting 12 years for this day. And way out there in oddities. Picture this. It's December 1st, and you open up Instagram. And what do you see but everyone you know proudly sharing their most listened to music from the past year? You realize that Spotify Wrapped season has finally arrived. You think about sharing yours, but what if you're less than thrilled with the outcome of your top listens? What can you do to better prepare for 2022? Reporter Helen Bradshaw tries to find an answer.
At the beginning of each December, the world's 381 million Spotify users wake up to a much anticipated gift.
Oh my God, what day is it? Like, I would instantly go to my calendar and see if I was dreaming or if it was truly Spotify Rap Day.
That's Andrew Young. And like millions of others, each year he gets a summary of his music listening history through Spotify Wrapped. If you aren't familiar with the tradition, each December, Spotify presents its users with bright, shareable graphics, summing up their music taste for the year and showing them just how unique their listening habits are. And it's become somewhat of a social media phenomenon. The graphics are easily shareable to Instagram stories, and boy are they shared.
I don't have anything against Spotify Wrapped. I always just think it's funny how one day everyone's music is all over the interwebs. But I also think there are benefits to it, right? Like you might discover, again, like that mutual interest that maybe some people are looking for in terms of music.
But for Weinberg Jr. Cade Kelly, even though that sharing can be overwhelming, it can also be a moment of pride and symbolic self-completion of sorts.
There's this attachment of your music taste to like your sense of style. That I feel like people often do. And I know I started listening to a lot of certain artists because I thought I liked their music for one, but B, I thought that listening to their music sort of like had a nice vibe to it that sort of like resonated with my personality. Your music taste is really put under a microscope.
But let's say you happen to not be so proud of your music taste.
Well, I would hope to see more, a heavier selection from Luke Combs or Thomas Rhett, because that's who I generally listen to, those types of folks. There was a great deal of One Direction populating my Spotify Wrapped from 2021. And while I love me some One Direction, I do not remember spending a considerable amount of time listening to them in that particular year. But it is entirely possible that I was enjoying them a little bit more than I would care to admit.
Or, for example, not speaking from personal experience or anything, but let's say the Glee cast was your top artist of the year and you aren't ready to tell the world you're a Gleek yet, or a Directioner. What can you do to avoid that situation for 2022? The answer isn't exactly straightforward, but Kelly has one tip. Get out all your so-called embarrassing music binges in the month before the new year.
Because in December, I had this freedom to listen to whatever I wanted and knew that it wouldn't show up in my Spotify Wrapped. So I would listen to Coconuts whenever I wanted, if I remember it correctly. Lots and lots of Taylor Swift. Was really enjoying the Red album. if not for that, for that grace period, Taylor Swift would definitely be my number one artist, like, this time next year. I also just, like, listened to the radio a lot more. I don't know if that was really affected by Wrapped, but I think I was also in that same mindset of I can listen to whatever. I was sort of letting myself explore a lot of different genres.
According to Spotify, they stop using data for Wrapped a few weeks before it comes out, potentially leaving all of November out of the running, and certainly December.
I don't know when I was listening to One Direction, but I think I was in a... I definitely was in, like, a classic rock phase in the fall and in the winter, and that was heavily underrepresented in my Spotify Wrapped. So 100% that. Now that you bring that up, yeah, I am actually getting a little agitated as we're talking about it, because they missed out on that phase of my year.
And this trend is definitely shown in Spotify's Wrapped data. According to Billboard, this method clearly privileges earlier releases. In fact, Olivia Rodrigo's Driver's License, the top song of the year, as well as Lil Nas X's Montero, Call Me By Your Name, the second most streamed song, were both released before April, giving users plenty of time to rack up streams. So as 2022's Spotify Wrapped is a mere 10 months away, remember, you really may only have 9 months to show Spotify your true or not so true habits. Or you can just be like Kelly and learn to embrace your taste.
I think it's time to finally just say I'm a Coconuts fan. I don't think I've ever said that out loud, and I would like it to be on this little podcast show radio talky thing to say that Coconuts is a great song, such good lyric. Marguerite Tatas is literal lyrical genius. Look
at these Marguerite Tatas. For WNUR News, I'm Helen Bradshaw.
I maintain that other platforms like Twitter and Instagram should also do a Wrapped at the end of the year, just to see how absolutely unhinged it is. But anyway, in the headlines today, Northwestern's men's basketball team faces off against rival Illinois on Saturday in Evanston. This is the first time this season the two teams are meeting in conference play. The Fighting Illini enter as 6.5-point favorites. They're ranked 24th in the country, while the Wildcats are decidedly not ranked. Northwestern students are encouraged to arrive as early as they can, as online tickets are completely sold out, suggesting there will be a heavy presence of Illinois fans filling the stands of Welsh Ryan Arena. A 50-year-old bridge collapsed in Pittsburgh early Friday morning, only hours before President Joe Biden arrived to deliver a speech promoting his key infrastructure bill. A passenger car and municipal bus fell into the ravine with the collapsing bridge, and several natural gas lines ruptured. No deaths were reported, and the gas leak was contained within a half hour of the collapse. On Wall Street, stocks began to rebound after a couple weeks of turmoil. The Dow Jones jumped up 565 points, finishing at 34,725. The NASDAQ picked up 418 points, up to 13,770. And the S&P 500 added 105 points, up to 4,441. Taking a look now at the weather. After a heavy deposit of lake effect snow earlier today, there will be no further snowfall tonight, with a low of 3 degrees Fahrenheit and clear skies. Saturday will see a high of 22 and a low of 17, with cloudy skies and calm winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour throughout the day. And finally, Sunday will have a high of 29 and a low of 15, cloudy skies with little chance of precipitation, and stronger winds of 10 to 15 miles per hour. For more news updates and reports, follow us on our Twitter at WNUR.news and on our Instagram at WNURnews893. You can listen to these and other stories of the day on our Spotify, Google Podcasts, and SoundCloud. You can also find us on our new website, WNUR.news. Our reporters today are Paz Baum, Margo Milanowski, and Helen Bradshaw. And our producer today is Nick Song. From all of us here at WNUR News, I'm Alex Harrison. Catch our next news break on Monday, January 31st at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening. Now, back to scheduled programming.